Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 468. It is May 10, 2016. Today, we're talking about the flatterer. Who is the flatterer? Where does he lead? Now, we begin with Bunyan, and we'll be hearing from Spurgeon in just a little while. Now, yesterday, I had to stop right in the middle of a conversation that Christian and Hopeful were having about the workings of the enemy and how Christian was saying that you never really know exactly what you're going to do in a fight and a spiritual warfare until it actually happens. But one thing for sure, Hopeful says, they will run, these demons will run when they suppose that great grace is in the way. He's coming. Christian says, true, they have often fled, both they and their master, when great grace hath but appeared. And no marvel, for he is the king's champion. But you will put some difference between little faith and the king's champion. All the king's subjects are not his champions, nor can they, when tried, do such feats of war as he. Is it meet to think that a little child should handle Goliath as David did, or that there should be the strength of an ox in a wren? Some are strong, some are weak. Some have great faith, some have little. This man was one of the weak, and therefore he went to the walls. Says Hopeful, I would that it had been great grace for their sakes. Christian, if it had been he might have had his hands full, for I must tell you that though great grace is excellent good at his weapons, and has and can, so long as he keeps them at sword's point, do well enough with them, yet if they get within him, even faint heart, mistrust, or the other, it shall go hard, but they will throw up his heels. And when a man is down, you know, what can he do? Whoso looks well upon great grace's face shall see those scars and cuts there that shall easily give demonstration of what I say. Yea, once I heard he should say, and that when he was in the combat, we despaired even of life. How did these sturdy rogues and their fellows make David groan, mourn, and roar? Yea, Heman and Hezekiah too, though champions in their day, were forced to bestir them when by these assaulted. And yet, notwithstanding, they had their coats soundly brashed by them. Peter, upon a time, would go try what he could do. But though they do say of him that he is the prince of the apostles, they handled him so that they made him at last afraid of a sorry girl. Besides, their king is at their whistle. He is never out of hearing. And if at any time they be put to the worst, he, if possible, comes in to help them. Of him it is said, the sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, nor dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him fly. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. What can a man do in this case? 'Tis true, if a man could at every turn have Job's horse, and had skill and courage to ride him, he might do notable things. For his neck is clothed with thunder. He will not be afraid as the grasshopper. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley, rejoiceth in his strength, and goeth out to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear, and is not affrighted, neither turneth back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground and fierceness and rage, and neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thundering of the captains and the shoutings. But for such footmen as these and I are, let us never desire to meet with an enemy, nor vaunt as if we could do better when we hear of others that they have been foiled, nor be tickled at the thoughts of our own manhood, for such commonly come by the worst when tried. Witness Peter, of whom I made mention before. He would swagger, aye, he would. He would, as his vain mind prompted him to say, do better, and stand more for his master than all men. But who so foiled and run down by these villains as he? When therefore we hear that such robberies are done on the king's highway, two things become us to do. First, to go out harnessed, and to be sure to take a shield with us. For it was for want of that, that he that laid so lustily at Leviathan could not make him yield. For indeed, if that be wanting, he fears us not at all. Therefore, he that had skill hath said, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 'Tis good also that we desire of the king a convoy, yea, that he will go with us himself. This made David rejoice when in the valley of the shadow of death, and Moses was rather for dying where he stood than to go one step without his God. Oh, my brother, if he will but go along with us, what need we be afraid of 10,000s that shall set themselves against us? But without him, the proud helpers fall under the slain. I, for my part, have been in the fray before now, and though, through the goodness of him that is best, I am, as you see, alive, yet I cannot boast of my manhood. Glad shall I be if I meet with no more such brunts, though I fear we are not beyond all danger. However, since the lion and the bear have not as yet devoured me, I hope God will also deliver us from the next uncircumcised Philistine. Then sang Christian, poor little faith, hast been among the thieves? Wast robbed? Remember this, whoso believes and gets more faith shall then a victor be over 10,000, else scarce over 3. And so they went on, and ignorance followed. Now we switch immediately to Spurgeon, who speaks a little of what we've been talking about and then goes right on with the story. He quotes right from Bunyan, right where we're at in the story. Now, when Christian and Hopeful left the Delectable Mountains to pursue their way towards the Celestial City, the shepherds bade them beware of the flatterer. They learned afterwards, by sad experience, the folly of neglecting this advice, for thus the story runs. And now we go back to Bunyan via Spurgeon. They went then till they came at a place where they saw a way put itself into their way, and seemed withal to lie as straight as the way which they should go. And here they knew not which of the two to take, for both seemed straight before them. Therefore here they stood still to consider. And as they were thinking about the way, behold, a man, black of flesh, but covered with a very light robe, came to them, and asked them why they stood there. They answered they were going to the Celestial City, but knew not which of these ways to take. Follow me, said the man. It is thither that I am going. So they followed him in the way that, but now came into the road, which by degrees turned, and turned them so from the city that they desired to go to, that in little time their faces were turned away from the city, and yet they followed him. But by and by, before they were aware, he led them both within the compass of a net, in which they were both so entangled that they knew not what to do. And with that the white robe fell off the black man's back. Then they saw where they were. Wherefore, there they lay, crying some time, for they could not get themselves out. Then said Christian to his fellow, now do I see myself in an error. Did not the shepherds bid us beware of the flatterers? As is the saying of the wise man, so we have found it this day. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Hopeful said, they also gave us a note of directions about the way, for our more sure finding thereof. But therein we have also forgotten to read, and have not kept ourselves from the paths of the destroyer. Here David was wiser than we, for, saith he, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Thus they lay bewailing themselves in the net. Spurgeon says, this is not a picture of a temptation to turn aside altogether from the good way. The path of the destroyer appeared to run parallel to that in which they ought to have kept. Nor did they go blundering on, but consulted with one another. Therein they were mistaken, for they should have consulted their book of instructions. Then they were misled by a gentleman of pleasing appearance, who looked like a servant of the King of Kings, and who spoke softly to them, assuring them that, as he himself was bound for the celestial city, he could lead them thither. His winning accents caused them to yield themselves to his guidance, and by, their faces were turned directly away from the city towards which aforetime they had been pressing. You see, it's not a case of the deliberate choice of sin, but rather of being deluded through neglect of the Word of God, which is the true guide of the pilgrim. There are flatterers of this kind in our own hearts. It has often happened in our experience that we've been living in simple dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the straight and narrow way, which leadeth unto life eternal, and by we have, perhaps, read the experience of some great man, and we think, well, it must be right to feel as he felt, to doubt as he doubted, to be tempest-tossed as he was. This is another road, and we begin to think that it is well to live by feeling. The flatterer does not tell us, in so many words, to give up faith in Christ alone. We should recognize him and be shocked if he did that, but he insinuates that we may walk a little by our holy feelings. We are not now such infants as we used to be. We've grown in grace somewhat. We may now rely a little upon the past. There's not the same need to be daily hanging upon Christ. Why not rest on what was enjoyed at conversion and make up, if necessary, with some present frames and feelings, present power in prayer, or present usefulness in the Lord's work? Mr. Flatterer knows well that when we are most sanctified, there's enough cause to weep over every day in our life. He knows that those who most resemble Jesus are very, very far from being quite like him. There's much more cause to deplore our sinnership than to admire our saintship. As we have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so must we walk in him. Still, we rely upon his merits alone. If you begin to walk by yourself, even a little way, you'll soon find that path leading you insensibly into such legality that you try, if not actually to save yourself, yet to keep yourself saved through the works of the law. In a very little time, the believer who does this will fall into the net. He'll find the pangs of hell, as it were, get hold upon him. He'll find trouble and sorrow. When a bird is caught in a net, it attempts to get out this way and that way. It may break its wings, but it cannot escape. It rather entangles itself more completely. And so the soul that has forsaken simple faith to live upon its own works and feelings and experiences will try in vain to get relief. It is in legal bondage. The Ten Commandments suffice to make a heavy net when they twist around the sinner who has broken them. Apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, who can hope to escape from an awakened conscience? Thus is the Christian caught up in a net when the flatterer who lives in his soul tempts him to self-righteousness and to forsake the Lord. Luther used to say, "You need not fear a black devil half so much as a white one." The white devil of self-righteousness is more dangerous to the Christian than even the black devil of open sin. When open sin tempts us, we know it to be sin and we're helped to forsake it. But oftentimes the white devil seems to be an angel of light. And under the garb of striving after sanctification or aiming at perfection, we're tempted to leave our childlike confidence in our Lord. This way lies the net. I think enough to think about today, don't you? My, my. Thank you for being with me today. Want to remind you that there's a long series on North Korea right here at sermonaudio.com. Don't forget to click on photos, by the way. Then click on the first album that you see, and the second one, too. Scores of picture updates on North Korea. We're keeping you updated as much as we can. Tomorrow we continue with Spurgeon and Bunyan as we continue on our way to the celestial city. We began with 2 Corinthians 11:14. Let's end there. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.